Caution. Learning in progress.
Welcome back to another episode of Smarter Every Season. I'm your host, Drew Stout. I'm joined alongside my co-host here, Hans Stutzman. Hans, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today, Drew?
I am doing wonderful. Glad to be back on the show. It's been a while. Our two guests we got joined alongside us here today are Kyle Hunter. Kyle, for those of you who maybe don't know, maybe give yourself a little introduction, introduce yourself to our listeners here, if you would.
Yeah, so my name is Kyle Hunter. I am a member of Product Support. I've been here, it'll be, what, 2 years in June? Yeah, so I was spent some time as an intern before I started full-time at Product Support, doing agronomy research with Aaron Herman and Corey Mulbauer, and spent some time at a dealership as well during my time at Iowa State. So,
What dealership were you helping out with it again? I forget.
The individual's name is Brandon Van Carabrook. Okay. So he works for a dealership named Reeders out of Grand Junction, Iowa.
Okay, very good. And our second guest we have alongside us today is Brian Jackson. Many of you guys probably know Brian, but Brian, maybe give yourself an introduction as well for those who might be new and maybe haven't met yet.
Yeah. So I started going on 10 years ago. Came in with main focus on like our SRM or single row module architecture. Started out, one of my first product was VSET Select. So kind of got started with VSET Select. That way, and then kind of got worked into other meters after that. grew up on a farm, not too far from here, a little over an hour and a half. Fun fact, grew up on a farm about 5 minutes from Kyle.
Absolutely.
Across a country road, didn't know that at the time until he started here.
Crazy how things come full circle.
Yeah. 815 boys.
You got to watch those boys.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, thanks for joining us here today, guys. And I think our main topic of discussion here for this episode is going to be around specialty crops. Now, it's kind of a topic maybe if you're from Central Illinois, you might kind of wonder, well, what do I mean by specialty crop?
I would say anything other than corn and soybeans in our territory area. So it comes across as specialty crops.
So I guess, yeah, Brian, Hans, Kyle, if you had to, you know, kind of think through when guys are talking through specialty crops, what kind of maybe comes to mind when maybe we're bringing up or hearing that in conversation?
So, we just mentioned there's a lot of variety of things when you talk about specialty crops. Right here in the area, one of the crops that's outside of corn and soybeans is pumpkins, and that's a common one. Some people would call that a specialty crop, some would not. But generally what we, within a lot of different areas that we primarily work on stuff that works with corn and soybeans first, and then the secondary things are those like pumpkins, milo, sugar beets. Those kind of get into more specialty crops. And then there's what I would almost classify as like really regional specialty crops, which is like your fruits and vegetables, or we don't do fruits, but vegetables types of things. That's where you really start to see some specialty stuff.
So absolutely.
Brian, but you ran into a bunch of different stuff as well.
But I would agree with that. I would say kind of specialty crops, depending on region, specialty crops are different. Some people might have soybeans as a specialty crop, I would say.
Right.
And they might think of it as that. But
absolutely.
Yeah, so I agree with you 100%. I think specialty crop means different things for different regions and different countries. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Really anything outside of maybe what the norm is or what the main producers are, something outside of that is how you could kind of define that.
Absolutely.
So obviously, precision planting, we offer lots of solutions for many different passes now as a company. Kind of the main goal, I guess, of this episode, I want to instill some confidence in our dealers when maybe they're approached with a proposition of, okay, I want to start working with specialty crops for maybe one of their customers or maybe an existing customer. How do you think, you know, a dealer should maybe look to go about that when they're approached with something like that? What solutions maybe could they look to maybe tackle or provide to that grower when maybe they're approached, you know, with that type of question?
You know, I think first and foremost, the first thing that comes to mind for me is we kind of go back to the basics. What's their target population? How fast are they going to be planting? What's the actual size of the seed? So what's going to be our spacing? You know, we have a We have a calculator actually on the cloud. We actually have a couple different calculators. We have a meter speed calculator and then a population calculator. So those are great tools to figure out, okay, what ballpark are we looking at as far as how do I need to meter the seed?
Yeah, because that really goes into, for someone who comes with a specialty crop, and kind of get that understanding of what is going to be the population, what's the distance. And a lot of them, they'll either give you a population or they'll give you a distance between seeds that is dependent on row spacing to go with it. But that makes a big difference as to how fast you're going to be, what the population is or how fast you need to be dropping the seed.
Right.
It helps dictate what type of disc or what type of settings you need to use. And then seed size is, to me, is the other really big key piece of that.
Yes.
So it's safe to say there's a lot of variables that are kind of at play here, especially with these specialty crops. You know, maybe how this seed is graded is going to vary from bag to bag, from company to company, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it was one of the things you alluded to there was graded. So consistent size makes a big difference when you're talking specialty crops, and then also shape.
Right.
We had some issues with, like, shapes was one of the things, unique things we dealt with in the past.
Yeah, so kind of to your point, it still comes back to the size of the hole in the disc.
Yep.
Because you're, along with shape, you always have the size plays into that as well, and what actually sits against the disc, you know, whether it's a narrow part of a seed or the larger part of the seed. And so one that I think you're talking about or thinking about is green beans was one that we struggled with. There's green beans, actually, there's a big grower or area in our area here, but there's also larger pockets of green bean growers throughout the country. And I would say a couple years ago, there was some seed that was just hard to plant because of the shape being a more kidney bean type shape and the size being the variation of size from the large to the small.
Our gradient was not very good.
It was very hard. It was very hard to plant, and you couldn't just give them a disc to try. The disc that they were using did not work. So yeah, that one was where, you know, as Kyle talked about, you know, you go to the calculator, they give you a set speed they want to plant, a population that they want to plant, and then you have to go to the calculator and say, okay, based on those numbers, this is how many holes I need to have to hit 5 mile an hour, which is what they wanted.
Right.
So then once you have that information, you know about how many holes you need on the disc, then you can start to say, what size of the hole do I need to have? And on that one was a lot of work because we went from a size hole that was like really pretty small, I would say, down to like a 0.115 hole size.
Yep.
And I just kept walking it up all the way up to like that 0.16, where you get up to like 0.16 and you're sucking the smaller seed through the hole. And still some of the larger seeds would almost couldn't be held by the disc. And so it just goes back to some of these crops, like as an expectation, you're not going to hit 99.5 or above that you would see with corn. But yeah, that one was a tough one due to the size and the shape, the variability in the size and the shape.
Absolutely.
So I think that's actually you're pointing to a point that I think as you deal with specialty crops, as guys come in with specialty crops, I think I see high value in asking the customers, like, what's your current expectation of your, like, what are you currently getting as far as singulation and spacing out of this crop, and what's your expectation if we try to plant this? What do you really expect this to be? Is that a valid question?
Yeah, Ryan? Yeah. Because I mean, in this situation, I was running consistently. I think it was around 92% to 94%, 95%. I kept trying and trying different things. I dremeled out pockets for agitation, thinking that I wasn't
getting enough movement
and picking up seed. I was changing the angle, like the bevel on the hole, thinking maybe I needed to bevel it a little bit more, and that would help pick up seed. And like, you got to a point where you weren't getting any better. Like 95%, I couldn't get over that at the numbers that they wanted as far as population speed. Then it just came down to, well, what were you getting before? Well, 95 is a lot better than 75 and 80% that he was getting, right? So.
Right. So he was still okay with 95 then at that
correct.
Point.
Correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, yeah, laying out those clear expectations is kind of, you know, a big piece of it. And now kind of hearing, talking through different seed discs that we can use on this, is this more going to be a specialty crop going to be better used with a V-set meter? Is that kind of what we would probably shoot to have guys try? Would that be the option for maybe someone who's interested in maybe doing something a little bit different?
I would say so. I mean, there's, you know, I'm not an expert on E-set. You know, V-set's going to be, I guess, your more tried and true, straightforward option to go with in this instance. You know, one thing I do think about as well is when we're looking at, you know, V-set, V-drive versus E-set is we want to make sure we keep our V-drive RPMs below that maximum. So, which I believe the maximum is 130 for RPM. So that's another thing, another piece of the puzzle I think we need to think about and consider if we're going to go the V-set, V-drive route. So
I think, but to your point, though, I think even with E-sets worked, but there was more limitation on what kind of crops you could get into an E-set.
Correct.
Especially now that we have a blank disc where you can kind of modify the drill and drill holes out on the V-set setup. I think we have a better chance of getting success with the V-set than what we did with the E-set options.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I would say if they have a OEM deer meter or if they currently run E-sets, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to run this other type of seed that this grower wants to run.
We have a fair number of different discs for E-sets that will run a fair number of things.
Correct. And there's a lot of times where I bounce back and forth. Like, I know we have a disc on our E-set setup guide that has this hole size for this crop. And maybe on the V-set side, we don't have anything listed. Well, I know that seed is going to run the same, similar in an E-set that it would in a V-set, back meter, with the same hole size.
Our hole size, there's some standard hole. We have some standard discs that are the same hole size and same seeds per revolution, or disc per revolution.
Right.
Absolutely.
Between the two of them.
Yeah. And so you still come into the same concerns of, I got to keep my meter speed below a max. I don't want to overspeed the meter. Like Kyle said, 130 is our max that meter can spin or that V-drive can run. There's a lot of times, even on that case, I try to stay below 100. Because if I can stay below 100, that's even less than I'm going to overspeed the meter, right? And so that can help our case as well.
Sure.
Right. And if we're thinking about, you know, turn compensation, you know, if I'm maxed out at 130 or I'm close to 130 as that outside wing is swinging around, we want to give that V drive some wiggle room so it still has headway to spin a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm kind of finding like a common theme here. Everything is kind of surrounded, whether we're talking V set, E set. It's all centered around the meter and how can we meter this seed or this crop that, you know, we're, you know, looking to try. Is a meter stand probably the best option for someone to try? Like if you're looking to get into a crop or work with a seed that I don't have much experience with, is running it on a test stand going to be one of the best options to start?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like a MeterMax Ultra, that's going to be the most straightforward way if you're trying to test a different configuration, if you're trying to set up for a specialty crop. I can set up in my shop. I can have different ideas already set aside to try and see how it performs. So absolutely, a MeterMax Ultra is going to be the easiest way. And then if I need to try different seed tube sensors, you know, if that's a concern, you know, we get into higher population seed, I can run those different seed tube sensors on that MeterMax Ultra.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we still have in the meter room discs that we use on a meter stand, wheat, for example.
Yep.
You take a canola disc. Well, it doesn't have enough holes for usually a population that someone wants to plant wheat. So you drill an extra ring of holes, run it, drill another ring of holes, and run it just to see what it does. I mean, that was like what Hans brought up about the blank disc. Now you can You can use a blank disc, which we have for ESET as well, but you can use them to drill out different hole sizes, run the crop, monitor it, kind of make some changes to the disc, maybe a bigger hole.
Yep.
Go back and try it again. I mean, a lot of our discs that we've come out with in the last few years was all designed and tested. You know, 56-hole soybean disc was run a lot on a meter stand.
Yep.
56-hole cotton disc was run and created because a 56-hole, a 32-hole cotton disc didn't have enough holes. We had a 56-hole disc. We filled it in, drilled them out, ran it again with the help from a dealer. And then when we got one of those discs and tested it, we're like, yeah, this does work well for a high-rate singulated cotton.
Absolutely.
And you can monitor that and make changes on a meter stand without having to go out in the field and do it.
So I'm going to jump in here. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, but as we talk through these things, we kind of what would be, Ryan and Kyle, what would your approach be if a grower came to you guys and said, hey, I got this crop that I want to try and plant outside, and he says, yeah, I want to do 60,000 on a 30-inch row. What are you guys going to do? What's kind of your approach to try and take that crop, and what would you coach a dealer on? Like, how do you take him kind of a step-by-step process to go through that? What would you take him through? Because there's a lot of times that I think you're going to, and for me, I've talked to guys like, well, I want to do this crop. Like, you want to do sesame seed? I have no idea what that is, or whatever crop it is. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
How would I approach that? What would you guys recommend for that? Kind of walk us through that step by step a little bit for the dealer.
I would say first thing is get a sample of the seed from them.
Okay.
It's going to be size, shape that they actually want to plant. Some seed that people call in about, we actually might have it in our library. So it's possible we could test some seed that we have here. Otherwise, it's going to be getting some seed in from that grower. You know, Uncle Kenny used to say, send me seed, but send me enough that you can actually do some testing multiple runs with. Send a coffee can.
You don't need a 55-pound bag of it.
No. But, he said, send a coffee can in full of seed so I can make some runs. Don't just send in 1,000 seed runs. You'd get 1,000 seeds. Somebody count out. So once you get that sample, then you can start to measure it. Then you can start to look at the crop setup guide for VSET that's on the cloud, start to see the hole size. You know, another thing Kenny used to say was you would want roughly 30% of the seed covering the hole. And that was about the size of hole to seed that you'd want. Now that, because of the shape, that changes that a little bit, and whether it end loads, if it's a side load, kidney shape, if it's end loads versus side load, and then distance between hole based on population, if the seed is too large, it will just knock seeds off the other holes if it side loads. So, I mean, the things like that are things that you have to think about.
So a rough idea is 30% of whatever of the diameter of the seed is the hole size.
Surface area. Surface of that seed.
Is what you're shooting for as far as a hole size diameter.
Yeah. And so then whether it's a blank disc or it's another disc you can use. Okay. If it's a lower population,
I mean, you can look at our list of discs that are out there. Those are ones
specialty
that we've got.
Discs.
And then use the calculator and see how close we can get. Can we stay below 100 RPM if we're running at a higher population with the size, with these number of holes on this disc, something like that. So then once you figure out the whole number that you need to stay in, then you kind of see, well, which disc can I use, or I'm going to have to drill out the blank. And then once you decide that, then you can start to run the samples and see kind of what the results are. Based on results, whether it skips multiples, whether I can't hit population, overspeeding my meter, whatever it is, then you can start to make adjustments and try to make that better.
If I'm running this for the first time, Brian or Kyle, obviously, I understand how I'm supposed to, see, corn and beans run on a test stand, right? But if it's a seed that I don't have experience with, how am I maybe looking past the errors or the things that I don't normally see to understand what is a realistic expectation and maybe what isn't a good thing for it to be? I guess, how am I sifting through to know this is what it's capable of, or can I do more, can I do better?
Right, and I think I think maybe some of that comes back to what we maybe stated earlier. Maybe it comes back to, okay, what's the expectation here for performance? You know, if we don't have a benchmark, I guess at that point, you know, I'll lean on you a little bit, Brian. You know, I would be more so shooting for, okay, what is, you know, given all my tools, what can I put piece together to try to get the best singulation possible while alleviating the number of skips and multiples? So, again, in my humble opinion, some of this comes back to what is the expectation, you know, compared to maybe their previous experience of trying to plant this crop, or if they're, again, if we're going back to, I guess I'll take a step back here. Let's try to reimagine this as, I take it, Drew, we're going to be assuming this is a grower that's approaching a whole new crop, you know, something they haven't planted before.
Right.
Then maybe at that point we need to have a conversation of what's going to be acceptable and what's not going to be acceptable. And then find that benchmark.
Yeah, I think you lean on them and see if they've heard of anything in the industry.
Yep.
Potentially that is like a benchmark. If they're completely new to it, don't know, then I think it just has to be you run the samples. I like to use my phone with and slow it down, so like a high speed camera almost.
Right.
In that slow motion setting, you start to understand. And so I also have a meter with no louvers in the top, and that gives you an open window to the top of the meter. And I've done the ESETs too. ESETs on a standard meter. Yep.
Yeah, that's open on the top.
They have an opening on the top. So you can, with your camera, visually see whether it's a singulation issue based on singulator or it's a loading issue at the meter. And so once you get to that point, then you can start to, do I need to fix my singulator? Is my singulator too aggressive or not aggressive enough? Or is it I'm not picking up seed at the bottom of the meter or not loading the disc?
Right.
Potentially a vac issue, something like that too.
Mm-hmm. Some of that could come back to your baffle setting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so like once you get that part, then you can start to run samples. I mean, it's going to take, if it's a new crop you've never done, it's going to take multiple runs. And so a lot of times I'll go down to seeds per second. And so if I run this seed at multiple runs, so if I do 10 runs, I may do a few runs at a lower seeds per second, and I increase my seeds per second, and I keep stepping it up, and you kind of start to build a database. Then you kind of start to see what meter speed or what seeds per second and tie it to singulation. So as my seeds per second goes up, in some cases, performance gets better, whereas at a lower seeds per second, it's not as good. And so in that case, you have to say, okay, you were worried about going too fast. You actually maybe need to speed up a little bit. And so there's some cases where it runs almost in a sweet spot as you get the meter going a little bit faster. Vac is not as much as if it's a finger meter,
right?
Where that sweet spot. But
finger meter, you definitely want to watch the top end.
Oh yeah,
and the bottom end, yes, too. But, yeah. But I mean, there's some crops that just seem to run better a little bit faster than they do slower. So sure. I mean, those are things you look at, and it's just you continually keep making adjustments to the disc until you just physically can't get it to get any better.
Right.
So I think that's a great question, and I would jump in. But what tweaks do you make? Like, so what, when you're looking at the system, you're saying, okay, this is 90% singulation. I really think we could probably get this to 94. What are the tweaks that you guys are looking to do? Like hole size, super speed, disc, what else? What are the unique changes that you're trying to play with?
I mean, one could be your vacuum pressure.
Okay.
You know, go ahead.
Question on that. So do you make big changes on vacuum, or do you go in like 2 and 3 vac pressure changes?
I usually go pretty small increments. I may adjust it by half a pound at the most. You know, if I'm seeing a bunch of skips, then I'm going to look to increase that vacuum pressure. Whereas I'm seeing a bunch of multiples, I'm going to try to back it down just a little bit. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, vac's a big one. that's when I start to use the slow motion camera a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I will try to increase my VAC, but if I'm still getting skips, then in my mind I think I just can't hold the larger seed to the disc with the smaller size diameter of hole that I have.
Yep.
In that case, then I would drill it out a little bit more or get a disc with a little bit, you know,
go from a
bigger hole size,
145
to a 125 or something like that. And then run it again. If you're still not loading, meaning I'm watching and I'm not seeing seed coming up from the base of my meter, like Kyle said, you could open the baffle. Maybe I don't have a big enough seed pool.
You can't get enough agitation to get it in there.
And so that could be some of it. In some cases, if my baffle is too high, you can actually cause issues with picking up seed, but then other seed, if my baffle in my seed pool is too high, can actually knock seed off the disc. So there is a fine line there as well. But I would say, that's kind of what I'm shooting for there.
Absolutely.
So obviously there's lots of things we can play around with and do on the metering and delivery side. Obviously that's only a piece of the puzzle when trying to grow a specialty crop, right? How much, you know, input and suggestion should guys be looking to use with their agronomist as well, understanding what type of fertility program maybe is involved with this? What is that perfect environment I can put that seed in? Maybe touch a little bit on that. Like, how important is that aspect of it as well?
Well, I would say from a planting standpoint, I don't know of any crops, but I could be wrong. Most crops, if they're spaced out by themselves, can get uniform sunlight, moisture, nutrients.
Yep.
They're going to emerge better. They're going to uptake the nutrients better. They're going to emerge better, and you're going to have more consistent emergence and a better plant. Health. So I would say from your question, as long as we can do that from a metering standpoint, that's the best we can do.
Yep. Right.
I would say.
And another thing too, you know, if I think about this in terms of corn, you know, I might be looking at what's the structure of the plant. You know, some corn is more upright, you know, points up, and then we have some corn that's more of a pendulum leaf. So the populations that I'm going to plant between those two styles are going to differ. So, you know, if I'm thinking about the actual physical characteristics of that plant, that may be another conversation to have with the agronomist.
Sure.
I think, so in addition to specialty crop, as far as the metering side of it, I think the only thing that I would think of that's really important to work with the agronomist is, like, what types of emergence, like, what's the planting depth, what's the closing type of scenario? Like, those are very good questions that I think is, like, if the grower's going to come talk to you about specialty crops, you may be talking about the meter piece of it a lot, but then also goes, okay, what else should I be aware of?
Yep.
Because I can plant it perfectly, but if I don't close it because I didn't realize, or I didn't realize what you're doing with your planting depth, if you shallow everything up, does that necessitate a different change to your row unit that you also need to make in addition to just the meter change?
Right.
So I think that would be a big call out. Like, if a guy comes with a specialty crop, ask the questions about, okay, we can work on the meter side of it. Also, what else? I need to know what else you're doing as far as tillage practices and
soil type. Soil type. Makes
a big one. Soil type.
Yep.
You think about cotton.
Yep.
People singulated. Two hill, three hill.
And the reason they do that is because they can't get it to emerge well a lot of times is because of that. So its closing is very important and on those types of systems.
But then that soil type, too, like I don't, you don't want to get yourself in a position where you say you should go singulated.
Right.
And then maybe their soil type is,
it crusts over,
and then it doesn't come up.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's another thing, you should probably ask.
So, and I'm sure some of these dealers that are in these areas that you got kind of have an idea what some of the stuff is, but these are all really good questions of your agronomist and your growers. Like, what else are you doing? Because we need to know how to set the system up ahead of time.
Right.
Absolutely.
Any success stories that maybe come to mind, and I'm going to probably lean on Hans and Brian, and this isn't a dig at your guys' age. I'm not calling you old.
But I heard it.
But I do know you guys have a lot of experience around, you know, maybe running meter stands, working with maybe different types of seed, and talking to different dealers and growers over the years. Are there any success stories that maybe come to mind where you were kind of faced with, you know, a seed or a crop that you really didn't know at first, but it really came out a pretty positive experience in the end?
Yeah, I would say, so we already talked about the one that I spent a lot of time on was green beans. Mm-hmm. And that took quite a bit of time, manipulation to the disc to kind of get that to come out, and ended up working out. Grower was very happy. I would say another one was when a company sent in sesame seeds. So you talked about that. I did a lot of testing.
I remember that one because it was sitting on my like it sat around my desk. And I'm like, who's brought this in?
Yeah. So I did a lot of testing with sesame seed to try to figure out kind of what best works for sesame seed. And we found that a new disc doesn't need to be created. We can use our canola disc because it's the right hole size, and it cleans the disc well with a wiper, and it drops similar to what canola would. So the canola disc is what they went with, and they were happy with that.
Yeah,
awesome.
Two that I can think of a little bit. I wasn't as involved in these, but I was around working with them. The wheat plate was actually an interesting one to work with. I spent a fair bit of time with that one. And then we started, I think, Brian, you mentioned it, we started with the canola plate trying to take it and drill it out, and first it was one set of holes, and it was two, and then we wound up with three, and we played around. I think at one point we did four just to try it. So that was a fun one to try, where we played around with it, and it was an interesting one because it was a population that we weren't used to planting that population. It actually was a funny story. We sent that disc out and said, yeah, you can put it in the 2020, you can run it and go with it. And I get out, my brother's planting. My brother was one of the first ones to put it on. And my brother said, well, I'm busy harvesting, you can go plant wheat. I was like, oh, all right, I guess I'll go plant wheat. And I get in, and I try to put in the population, and we're trying for 1.4 million. And the Gen 2 at that time didn't let you put that number in. So I got to have a quick phone call back to Ryan. All the guys like, hey, we have a software problem because of a seed disk. But that was one that was a fun one. The other one that I can think of, and I was not, this was more actually back when we had someone else in the meeting room, Brandon Palmgren was doing a lot with it, but it was peanuts. And we had actually, we started with a peanut plate, and then there was a different style of peanuts. There was a much bigger peanut, larger peanut. We actually had to go back and kind of redesign the peanut plate to be able to handle it. It had a little higher agitation, a much larger hole than what we were used to.
To no try and singulator, get those. Yeah.
Yep. No singulator. That's one of the few crops that we don't run the singulator in. Mm-hmm. But that was another one that I can think of where it took us a while to get that back in, but getting seed in, running it again, playing with it, and keep making tweaks to it, and doing stuff that you typically wouldn't expect to make. Like, we live and breathe on a singulator. That's kind of one of the things we want to breathe.
Yep.
But that actually, it worked best without the singulator on that one.
Yep. So one story I do have, not too long ago, I was working through an issue on the phone with a dealer. They were trying to plant sorghum, and, you know, sorghum's a pretty small seed. Yeah. So they were trying to plant pretty high population, and what they were getting was they were getting seed getting ground up in the meter. And ultimately what we told them was, let's go ahead, let's add some shims. They added a few more shims. It seemed to help, and I said, let's go ahead, let's try to add a few more. And they went back to the shop, grabbed every shim they had on the shelf, and eventually they were good to go. So that's another thing to think about is shimming, because that can, of course, play into effect when we're trying to set the meter. So,
So kind of one goes along with that, and is also if you're dealing with CCS systems, make sure your CCS system can handle the size seed that you're running. That's a big piece of it. And there are some modifications that will be made to, depending on what your CCS system is, there's probably some changes that need to be made to it as well.
Yep.
Okay, guys, I think that probably about wraps up with what all I had to run through here in this episode. Brian, Kyle, is there anything else that you maybe want to leave our listeners with before we end it here?
No, I think that covers just about everything that we had kind of talked about a little bit before the show. I don't think I have anything else to add.
No, I think I have, that's everything that I had. I'd say other than that, if you have any questions that we didn't cover, just go ahead and give us a call and we'll help you out.
Absolutely, yep. You can always contact product support with any additional questions you got. So,
absolutely.
Right. Always a great reminder.
Thanks for having us, Drew.
Yeah.
No, thank you guys for your time of joining and giving your expertise. And thank you to the dealers for listening to this episode. Hopefully this suits you well and it was some valuable information for you. So thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next time.